All right, we're beginning chapter 25 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, called The Egg and the Eye.
What's the eye?
I don't know. I don't remember. As Harry had no idea how long a bath he would need to take to work out the secret of the golden egg, he decided to do it at night, when he'd be able to take as much time as he wanted. Reluctant though he was to accept more favors from Cedric, he decided to use the prefix bathroom. Far fewer people were allowed in there, so it was much less likely he would be disturbed. Harry planned his excursion carefully, because he'd been caught out of bed and out of bounds by Filch, the caretaker, in the middle of the night once before, and had no desire to repeat the experience. The invisibility cloak would, of course, be essential, and as an added precaution, Harry thought he would take the Marauder's map, which, next to the cloak, was the most useful aid to rule-breaking Harry owned. The map showed the whole of Hogwarts, including its many shortcuts and secret passageways, and, most important of all, it revealed the people inside the castle as minuscule labeled dots, moving around the corridors, so that Harry would be forewarned if somebody was approaching the bathroom. On Thursday night, Harry sneaked up to bed, put on the cloak, crept back downstairs, and, just as he had done the night when Hagrid had shown him the dragons, waited for the portrait hole to open. This time it was Ron who waited outside to give the fat lady the password. Banana fritters. Good luck, Ron muttered, climbing into the room as Harry crept out past him. It was awkward moving around under the cloak tonight, because Harry had the heavy egg under one arm and the map held in front of his nose with the other. However, the moonlit corridors were empty and silent, and by checking the map at strategic intervals, Harry was able to ensure that he wouldn't run into anyone he wanted to avoid. When he reached the statue of Boris the Bewildered, a lost-looking wizard with gloves in the wrong hands, he located the right door, leaned close to it, and muttered the password, Pinefresh, just as Cedric had told him. The door creaked open. Harry slipped inside, bolted the door behind him, and pulled off the invisibility cloak, looking around. His immediate reaction was that it would be worth becoming a prefect just to be able to use this bathroom. It was softly lit by a splendid candle-filled chandelier, and everything was made of white marble, including what looked like an empty rectangular swimming pool sunk in the middle of the floor. About 100 golden taps stood all around the pool's edges, each with different colored jewels set in its handle. There was also a diving board.
What?
Long white linens hung at the windows, a large pile of fluffy white towels set in a corner, and there was a single golden framed painting on the wall. It featured a blonde mermaid who was fast asleep on a rock, her long hair over her face. It fluttered every time she snored. Harry moved forward, looking around, his footsteps echoing off the walls. Magnificent though the bathroom was, and quite keen though he was to try out a few of those taps, now he was here, he couldn't suppress the feeling that Cedric might have been having him on. How on earth was this supposed to help him solve the mystery of the egg? Nevertheless, he put on one of the fluffy towels, the cloak, the map, and the egg, at the side of the swimming pool-sized bath, knelt down and turned on a few of the taps. He could tell at once that they carried different sorts of bubble bath mixed with the water, though it wasn't bubble bath as Harry had ever experienced it. One tap gushed pink and blue bubbles the size of footballs. Another poured ice-white foam so thick Harry would have thought it would have supported his weight if he'd cared to test it. A third sent heavy, perfumed purple clouds hovering over the surface of the water. Harry amused himself for a while, turning the taps on and off, particularly enjoying the effects of one whose jet bounced off the surface of the water in large arcs. Then, when the deep pool was full of hot water, foam, and bubbles, which took a very short time considering its size, Harry turned off all the taps, pulled off his pajamas, slippers, and dressing gown, and slid into the water. It was so deep that his feet barely touched the bottom, and he actually did a couple lengths before swimming back to the side and treading water, staring at the egg. Highly enjoyable, though, it was to swim in hot and foamy water with clouds of differently colored steam wafting all around him. No stroke of brilliance came to him, no sudden burst of understanding.
How had Cedric figured this out?
You'll see in a sec.
Well, I know.
What?
Myrtle.
Yeah.
But how did she know? Okay, keep going.
I don't know. Harry stretched out his arms, lifted the egg in his wet hands, and opened it. The wailing, screeching sound filled the bathroom, echoing and reverberating off the marble walls. But it sounded just as incomprehensible as ever, if not more so with all the echoes. He snapped it shut again, worried that the sound would attract Filch, wondering whether that hadn't been Cedric's plan, and then, making him jump so badly that he had dropped the egg, which clattered away the bathroom floor, someone spoke. "I'd try putting it in the water if I were you." What should she be?
No, that was good. She's just creepy.
Okay. She's a ghost, right?
I know, but she's so creepy and weird.
Harry had swallowed a considerable amount of bubbles in shock. Looking up, he saw the ghost of a very glum-looking girl sitting cross-legged on top of one of the taps. It was Moaning Myrtle, who was usually heard to be sobbing in the S bend of a toilet 3 floors below. "Myrtle," Harry said in outrage. "Myrtle," Harry said in outrage. "I'm not wearing anything." The foam was so dense that this hardly mattered, but he had a nasty feeling that Myrtle had been spying on him from one of the taps ever since he had arrived. "I closed my eyes when you got in," she said, blinking at him through her thick spectacles. "You haven't been to see me for ages." "Yeah, well," Harry said, bending his knees slightly just to make absolutely sure Myrtle couldn't see anything but his head. "I'm not supposed to come in your bathroom, am I? It's a girl's one." "You didn't used to care," said Myrtle miserably. "You used to be there all the time." This was true, though only because Harry, Ron, and Hermione had found Myrtle's out-of-order toilets a convenient place to brew Polyjuice potion in secret, a forbidden potion that had turned him and Ron into living replicas of Crabbe and Goyle for an hour, so that they could sneak into the Slytherin common room. "I got told off for going in there," said Harry, which was half true. Percy had once caught him coming out of Myrtle's bathroom. "I thought I might not come back after that." "Oh, I see," said Myrtle, picking at a spot on her chin in a morose sort of way. "Well, anyways, I tried the egg in the water. That's what Cedric Diggory did." "Have you been spying on him, too?" said Harry indignantly. "What do? Sneak up here in the evening to watch the prefects take baths?" "Sometimes," said Myrtle rather slyly. "But I've never come out to speak to anyone before." "I'm honored," said Harry darkly. "You keep your eyes shut." He made sure Myrtle had her glasses well covered before hoisting himself out of the water. Wrapping the towel firmly. She's a ghost, what does it matter?
I know, that's what it was like.
Wrapping the towel firmly around
his waist. But I would be freaked out if it was a boy ghost.
I know. Wrapping the towel firmly around his waist and going to retrieve the eggs. Once he was back in the water, Myrtle peered through her fingers and said, "Go on then, open it under the water." Harry lowered the egg beneath the foamy surface and opened it, and this time it did not wail. A gurgling sound was coming out of it, a song whose words he couldn't quite distinguish through the water. "You need to put your head under, too," said Myrtle, who seemed to be thoroughly enjoying bossing him around. "Go on." Harry took a great breath and slid under the surface. And now, sitting on the marble bottom of the bubble-filled bath, he heard a chorus of eerie voices singing to him from the open egg in his hands. "Come seek us where our voices sound. We cannot sing above the ground. While you're searching, ponder this. We've taken what you'll sorely miss. An hour long you'll have to look and to recover what we took. But past an hour the prospect's black. Too late it's gone. It won't come back." She's not a good poet. Anyways. Harry let himself float back upward and broke the bubbly surface, shaking his hair out of his eyes. "Hear it?" said Myrtle. "Yeah, come and seek us where voices sound, and if I need persuading..." Hang on, I need to listen to it again. He sank back beneath the water. It took 3 more underwater renditions of the egg's song before Harry had it memorized. Then he trod for a while, thinking hard, while Myrtle sat and watched him. "I've got to go and look for people who can't use their voices above the ground," he said slowly. "Who could that be?" "Slow, aren't you?" He had never seen... He is pretty slow. He had never seen Moaning Myrtle so cheerful, apart from the day when a dose of Polyjuice potion had given Hermione the hairy face and tail of a cat. Harry stared around the bathroom, thinking. If the voices could only be heard underwater, then it would make sense for them to be underwater creatures. He ran this theory by Myrtle, who smirked at him. Well, that's what Diggory thought, she said. He lay there talking to himself for ages about it. Ages and ages, nearly all the bubbles had gone. Underwater, Harry said slowly. Myrtle, what lives in the lake, apart from the giant squid? Oh, all sorts, she said. I sometimes go down there. Sometimes I don't have any choice if someone flushes my toilet and I'm not expecting it. Trying not to think about Moaning Myrtle zooming down a pipe to the lake with the contents of a toilet, Harry said... Wait, they just dump it into the toilet? Okay, Harry said. Well, does anything in there have a human voice? Hang on. Harry's eyes had fallen on the picture of the snoozing mermaid on the wall. Myrtle, there aren't mer people there, are there? Ooh, very good, she said, her thick glasses twinkling. It took Diggory much longer than that, and that was with her awake, too. Myrtle jerked her head toward the mermaid with an expression of great dislike on her glum face, giggling and showing off and flashing her fins.
She was not all she was flashing. Yeah. But remember that. Isn't it a Family Guy where it's a merwoman and she's half... Yeah.
The wrong half.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's the guy that's the wrong half. That's right. Yeah. And Futurama does one also.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. And there's a really funny Penny Arcade, which has on the same theme.
Okay.
That's it, isn't it? Harry said excitedly. The second task is to go find the burn people in the lake and... But he suddenly realized what he was saying, and he felt the excitement drain out of him as though someone had just pulled a plug in his stomach. He wasn't a very good swimmer. He never had much practice. Dudley had had lessons in his youth, but Aunt Petunia and Uncle Vernon, no doubt hoping that Harry would drown one day, hadn't bothered to give him any. A couple of lengths of this bath was all very well, but that lake was very large, very deep, and the merpeople would surely live right at the bottom. Myrtle, Harry said slowly, how am I supposed to breathe? At this, Myrtle's eyes filled with sudden tears again. Tactless, she muttered, groping in her robes for a handkerchief. What's tactless? Harry said, bewildered. Talking about breathing in front of me, she said shrilly, and her voice echoed loudly around the bathroom. When I can't, when I haven't, not for ages. She buried her face in her handkerchief and sniffed loudly. Harry remembered how touchy Myrtle had been about being dead, but none of the other ghosts he knew made such a fuss about it. Sorry, he said impatiently. I didn't mean, I just forgot. Oh, yes, it's very easy to forget Myrtle's dead, said Myrtle, gulping, looking at him out of swollen eyes. Nobody missed me even when I was alive. It took them hours and hours to find my body. I know, I was sitting there waiting for them. Olive Hornby came into the bathroom. Are you in here sulking, Myrtle? She said, because Professor Dippet asked me to look for you. And then she saw my body. Ooh, she didn't forget until her dying day. I made sure of that. Followed her around and reminded her I did. I remember her at her brother's wedding. But Harry wasn't listening. He was thinking about the merpeople's song again. We've taken what you'll sorely miss. That sounded like they were going to steal something of his, something that he had to get back. What were they going to take? And then, of course, she went to the Ministry of Magic to stop me stalking her, so I had to come back here and live in my toilet. Good, said Harry vaguely. Well, I'm a lot further along than I was. Shut your eyes again, will you? I'm getting out. He retrieved the egg from the bottom of the bath, climbed out, dried himself, and pulled on his pajamas and dressing gown again. Will you come and visit me in my bathroom again? Moaning Myrtle asked mournfully, as Harry picked up his invisibility cloak. I'll try, he said, though privately thinking the only way he'd be visiting Myrtle's bathroom again was if every other toilet in the castle got blocked. See you, Myrtle. Thanks for your help. Bye-bye, she said gloomily, And as Harry put on the invisibility cloak, he saw her zoom back up the tap. Out in the dark corridor, Harry examined the Marauder's map to check that the coast was still clear. Yes, the dots belonging to Filch and his cat, Mrs. Norris, were safely in their office. Nothing else seemed to be moving up, apart from Peeves. Though he was bouncing around the trophy room above, Harry had taken the first step back toward Gryffindor Tower when something else on the map caught his eye, something distinctly odd. Peeves was not the only thing that was moving. Do you remember? A single dot was flitting around the room in the bottom left-hand corner, Snape's office. But the dot wasn't labeled Severus Snape. It was Artemius Crouch. Harry stared at the dot. Mr. Crouch was supposed to be too ill to go to work or come to the Yule Ball, so what was he doing sneaking into Hogwarts at 1 a.m? Harry watched closely as the dot moved around and around the room, pausing here and there. Harry hesitated, thinking, and then his curiosity got the better of him. He turned and set off in the opposite direction, toward the nearest staircase. He was going to see what Crouch was up to. Harry walked down the stairs as quietly as possible, though the faces of some of the portraits still turned curiously at the squeak of the floorboards and the rustle of his pajamas. He crept along the corridor below, pushing aside a tapestry about halfway along, then proceeded down a narrower staircase, a shortcut that would take him 2 floors down. He kept glancing at the map, wondering. It didn't seem in character, somehow, for correct, law-abiding Mr. Crouch to be sneaking around in someone else's office late this night. And then, halfway down the staircase, not thinking about what he was doing, not concentrating on anything but the peculiar behavior of Mr. Crouch, Harry's legs suddenly sank right through the tricky step Neville always forgot to jump. He gave an ungainly wobble, and the golden egg, still damp from the bath, slipped under his arm. He lurched forward to try to catch it, but it was too late. The egg fell down the long staircase with a bang, as loud as a bass drum on every step.
Bass drum.
On every step. The invisibility cloak slipped. Harry snatched it, and the Marauder's map fluttered out of his hand and slid 6 stairs down, where, sunk to the step above his knee, he couldn't reach it. The golden egg fell through the tapestry at the bottom of the staircase, burst open, and began wailing loudly in the corridor below. Harry pulled out his wand and struggled to reach to touch the Marauder's map to wipe it blank, but it was too far away. Pulling the cloak back over him, Harry straightened up, listening hard with his eyes screwed up with fear. And almost immediately, Peeves! It was the unmistakable hunting cry of Filch the caretaker. He could hear the rapid, shuffling footsteps coming nearer and nearer. His wheezy face, a voice raised in fury. It's okay, it'll be alright.
Read.
Should I stop?
No, read.
Okay. What's this racket? Wake up the whole castle, will you? I've got you, Peeves. I'll have you. What's this? Filch's footsteps halted. There was a clink of metal on metal as the wailing stopped. Filch had picked up the egg and closed it. Harry stood very still, one leg...
Why doesn't he say Osseo map?
Because he's an idiot.
And Osseo egg.
Because he's an idiot. He learned the spell, didn't he? Very well, didn't he? You're right.
Duh. That's what the fuck... What the fuck is magic
Although,
for?
The egg might not have come, because remember... He couldn't have done that during the tournament, so it might be enchanted.
That's true, that's true.
The map.
But the map be good.
Yep.
Ugh.
Any moment now, Filch was going to pull aside the tapestry, expecting to see Peeves, and there would be no Peeves. But if he came up the stairs, he would spot the Marauder's map. And if invisibility cloak or not, the map would show Harry Potter standing exactly where he was. Egg... Filch said quietly at the foot of the stairs. My sweet. Mrs. Norris was obviously with him. This is a Triwizard clue. This belongs to a school champion. Harry felt sick. His heart was hammering very fast. Peeves, Filch roared gleefully. You've been stealing. He ripped back the tapestry. and Harry saw his horrible pouchy face and bulging pale eyes staring up in the dark, and to Filch, deserted staircase. "Hiding, are you?" he said softly. "I'm coming to get you, Peeves. You've gone and stolen a Triwizard clue, Peeves. Dumbledore will have you out of this for, out of here for this, you filthy pilfering poltergeist." Filch started to climb the stairs, his scrawny, dust-colored cat at his heels. Mrs. Norris's lamp-like eyes, so very like her master's, were fixed directly upon Harry. He had the occasion before now to wonder whether the invisibility cloak worked on cats. Sick with apprehension, he watched Filch drawing nearer and nearer in his old flannel dressing gown. He desperately tried to pull his trapped leg free, but it merely sank a few more inches. Any second now, Filch was going to spot the map or walk right on him. "Filch, what's going on?" Filch stopped a few steps below Harry and turned. At the foot of the stairs stood the only person who could make Harry's situation worse. Snape. He was wearing a long gray nightshirt and looked livid. "It's Peeves, Professor," Filch whispered malevolently. "He threw the egg down the stairs." Snape climbed up the stairs quickly and stopped beside Filch. Harry gritted his teeth, convinced his loudly thumping heart what?
Read, okay, read faster.
His loudly thumping heart would give him away at any second. "Peeves," said Snape softly, staring at the egg in Filch's hands. "But Peeves couldn't get into my office." "This egg was in your office, Professor?" "No, of course not," Snape snapped. "I heard banging and wailing." "Yes, Professor, that was the egg. I was coming to investigate." "Peeves threw it, Professor. And when I passed my office, I saw that torches were lit and a cupboard door was ajar. Somebody had been searching it." "But Peeves couldn't." "I know he couldn't, Filch," Snape snapped again. "I seal my office with a spell none but a wizard could break." Snape looked up the stairs straight through Harry, then down at the corridor below. "I want you to come and help me search for the intruder, Filch."
Yes, Professor, but..."
Filch looked yearningly up the stairs, right through Harry, who could see that he was very reluctant to forego the chance of cornering Peeves.
"Go," Harry pleaded with him silently. "Go with Snape, go."
Mrs. Norris was peering around Filch's legs. Harry had the distinct impression she could smell him. Why had he filled that bath with so much perfumed foam?
"The thing is, Professor," said Filch plaintively, "the headmaster will have to listen to me this time. Filch has been stealing from a student. It might be my chance to get him thrown out of the castle once and for all."
"Filch, I don't give a damn about that wretched poltergeist. It's my office that's..." Clunk, clunk, clunk. Snape stopped talking very abruptly. He and Filch both looked down the foot of the stairs. Harry saw Mad-Eye Moody limp into sight through the narrow gap between their heads.
Faster.
What's that?
Faster.
Moody was wearing his old traveling cloak over his nightshirt and leaning on his staff as usual.
"Pajama party, is it?" he growled up the stairs.
"Professor Snape and I heard voices, Professor," said Filch at once. Or noises, rather, said Filch at once. "He's the poltergeist, throwing things around as usual, and then Professor Snape discovered someone had broken into his office."
"Shut up," Snape hissed to Filch.
Moody took a step closer to the foot of the stairs. Harry saw Moody's magical eye travel over Snape, and then unmistakably onto himself. Harry's heart gave a horrible jolt. Moody could see through invisibility cloaks. He alone could see the full strangeness of the scene. Snape in his nightshirt, Filch clutching his egg, and he, Harry, trapped in the stairs beneath them. Moody's lopsided gash of a mouth opened in surprise. For a few seconds, he and Harry stared straight into each other's eyes. Then Moody closed his mouth and turned his blue eye upon Snape again.
"Did I hear that correctly, Snape?"
he asked slowly.
"Someone broke into your office?"
"It is unimportant," said Snape coldly.
"On the contrary," growled Moody. "It is very important. Who'd want to break into your office?"
"To hurt your voice."
"Yeah. A student, I dare say," said Snape. Harry could see a vein flickering horribly on Snape's greasy temple.
It has happened before. Potion ingredients have gone missing from my private store cupboard. Students attempting illicit mixtures, no doubt.
Reckon they were after your potion ingredients, eh? Said Moody. Not hiding anything else in your office, are you?
Harry saw the edge of Snape's sallow face turn a nasty brick color, the vein in his temple pulsing more rapidly.
You know I'm hiding nothing, Moody, he said in a soft and dangerous voice, as you've searched my office pretty thoroughly yourself.
Moody's face twisted into a smile.
Horror is privilege, Snape. Dumbledore told me to keep an eye.
Dumbledore happens to trust me, said Snape through clenched teeth. I refuse to believe he gave you orders to search my office.
Of course Dumbledore trusts you, growled Moody. He's a trusting man, isn't he? Believes in second chances. But me, I say there are spots that don't come off, Snape. Spots that never come off, do you know what I mean?
Snape suddenly did something very strange. He seized his left forearm convulsively with his right hand as though something on it had hurt him.
Moody laughed. Go back to bed, Snape. You don't have the authority to send me anywhere, Snape hissed, letting go of his arm as though angry with himself. I have as much right to prowl this school after dark as you do. Prowl away, said Moody, but his voice was full of menace. I look forward to meeting you in a dark corridor sometime. You've dropped something, by the way.
With a stab of horror, Harry saw Moody point at the Marauder's map still lying on the staircase six steps below. As Snape and Filch both turned to look at it, Harry threw caution to the winds. He raised his arms under the cloak and waved furiously at Moody to attract his attention, mouthing, "It's mine, it's mine." Snape had reached out for it, a horrible expression of dawning comprehension on his face.
Azio parchment, which Harry should have done.
Yep.
The map flew up into the air, slipped through Snape's outstretched fingers, and soared down the stairs into Moody's hand.
My mistake, Moody said calmly. It's mine. Must have dropped it earlier.
But Snape's black eyes were darting from the egg in Filch's arms to the map in Moody's hand, and Harry could tell he was putting two and two together.
Oh, God.
As only Snape could.
As only Snape could, as like a normal person with a brain between their ears could.
Potter, he said quietly. What's that? Said Moody calmly, folding up the map and pocketing it. Potter, Snape snarled.
And he actually turned his head and stared right at the place where Harry was, as though he could suddenly see him.
That egg is Potter's egg. That piece of parchment belongs to Potter. I've seen it before. I recognize it. Potter is here. Potter in his invisibility cloak.
Snape stretched out his hands like a blind man and began to move up the stairs. Harry could have sworn his overlarge nostrils were dilating, trying to sniff Harry out. Trapped, Harry leaned backward, now trying to avoid Snape's fingertips, but at any moment now.
There's nothing there, Snape, barked Moody. But I'll tell the headmaster how quickly your mind jumped to Harry Potter.
Meaning what? Snape turned again to look at Moody, his hands still outstretched, inches from Harry's chest.
Meaning that Dumbledore is very interested to know who's got it in for that boy, said Moody, limping nearer to the foot of the stairs. And so am I, Snape. Very interested.
The torchlight flickered across his mangled face so that the scars and the chunk of missing from his nose looked deeper and darker than ever. Snape was looking down at Moody, and Harry couldn't see the expression on his face. For a moment, nobody moved or said anything. Then Snape lowered his hands.
I merely thought, said Snape, in a voice of forced calm, that if Potter was wandering around after dark, it's an unfortunate habit of his. He should be stopped for his own safety. Ah, I see, said Moody. Got Potter's best interests at heart, have you?
There was a pause. Snape and Moody were still staring at each other. Mrs. Norris gave a loud meow, peering over Filch's leg, looking for the source of Harry's bubble bath smell. I think I'll go back to bed, said Snape curtly.
Best idea you've had all night, said Moody. Now, Filch, if you'll just give me that egg.
No, said Filch, no. Clutching the egg as though it was his firstborn son. Professor Moody, this is evidence of Peeves' treachery.
But it's the property of the champion he stole it from, said Moody. Hand it over now.
Snape swept downstairs and passed Moody without another word. Filch made a chirping noise to Mrs. Norris, who stared blankly at Harry for a few more seconds before turning and following her master. Still breathing very fast, Harry heard Snape walking down the corridor. Filch handed Moody the egg and disappeared from view too, muttering to Mrs. Norris.
Never mind, my sweet. We'll see Dumbledore in the morning. Tell him what Peeves was up to.
A door slammed. Harry was left staring down at Moody, who placed his staff on the bottommost stair and started to climb laboriously toward him, a dull clunk on every other step.
Close shave, Potter,
he muttered. Yeah, I think, said Harry weakly.
What's this thing? Said Moody,
drawing the Marauder's map out of his pocket and unfolding it. Map of Hogwarts, said Harry, hoping Moody was going to pull him out of the staircase soon. His leg was really hurting him.
Merlin's beard, Moody whispered, staring at the map, his magical eye going
haywire. Wouldn't it show that it's not Mad-Eye Moody?
Yeah, but Harry can't see that.
Why?
Because he's not looking at the map. I don't think Moody gives it back, does he?
I don't remember. Talk.
This is some map, Potter.
Yeah, it's quite useful, said Harry. His eyes were starting to water from the pain. Professor Moody, do you think you could help me?
What? Oh, yes, of course.
Moody took hold of Harry's arms and pulled. Harry's leg came free of the trick step. He climbed onto the one above it. Moody was still gazing at the map.
Potter, he said slowly, you didn't happen by any chance to see who broke into Snape's office, did you? On this map, I mean.
Yeah, I did, Harry admitted. It was Mr. Crouch. Moody's magical eye whizzed over the entire surface of the map. He looked suddenly alarmed.
Crouch, he said. You're sure?
Potter? Positive, said Harry.
Well, he's not here anymore, said Moody, his eye still whizzing over the map. Crouch, that's very, very interesting.
He said nothing for almost a minute, staring at the map. Harry could tell that this news meant something to Moody, and very much wanted to know what it was. He wondered whether he dared to ask. Moody scared him slightly, yet Moody had just helped him avoid an awful lot of trouble. Professor Moody, why do you reckon Mr. Crouch wanted to look into Snape's office? Moody's magical eye left the map and fixed, quivering, on Harry. It was a penetrating glare, and Harry had the impression that Moody was sizing him up, wondering whether to answer or not, or how much to tell.
Put it this way, Potter,
Moody finally muttered.
They say old Mad-Eye's obsessed with catching dark wizards, but I'm nothing, nothing compared to Barty Crouch.
He continued to stare at the map. Harry was burning to know more. Professor Moody, he said again, do you think this could have anything to do with... Maybe Mr. Crouch thinks there's something going on?
Like what?
Moody said sharply. Harry wondered how much he dared to say. He didn't want Moody to guess that he had a source of information outside Hogwarts that might lead to tricky questions about Sirius. I don't know, Harry muttered. Odd stuff's been happening lately, hasn't it? It's been in the Daily Prophet, the Dark Market, the World Cup, and Death Eaters and everything. Both of Moody's mismatched eyes widened.
You're a sharp boy, Potter.
Not true, he said. His magical eye roved back and forth. The Marauder's map.
Crouch could be thinking along these lines, he said slowly. Very possible. There might have been some funny rumors flying around lately. Helped, of course, by Rita Skeeter, of course. It's making a lot of people nervous, I reckon.
A grim smile twisted his lopsided mouth.
Oh, if there's one thing I hate, he muttered,
more to himself than to Harry, and his magical eye was fixed on the left-hand corner of the map.
It's a Death Eater who walked free.
Harry stared at him. Could Moody possibly mean what Harry thought he meant?
And now I want to ask you a question, Potter, said Moody in a more businesslike tone.
Harry's heart sank. He had thought this was coming. Moody was going to ask where he got this map, which was a very dubious magical object, and the story of how it had fallen into his hands incriminated not only him, but his own father, Fred and George Weasley, and Professor Lupin, their last defense against the dark arts teacher. Moody waved the map in front of Harry, who braced himself.
Can I borrow this?
Oh, said Harry. He was very fond of the map, but on the other hand, he was extremely relieved that Moody wasn't asking him where he got it, and there was no doubt he owed Moody a favor. Yeah, okay.
Good boy, growled Moody. I can make good use of this. This might be exactly what I've been looking for. Right, Bed Potter, come on now.
They climbed to the top of the stairs together, Moody still examining the map as though it was a treasure, the likes of which he had never seen before. They walked in silence to the door of Moody's office, where he stopped and looked up at Harry.
You ever thought of being an Aurora Potter?
No, said Harry, taken aback.
You want to consider it?
Said Moody, nodding and looking at Harry thoughtfully.
Yes, indeed, and incidentally, I'm guessing you weren't just taking that egg for a walk tonight.
No, said Harry, grinning. I've been working out the clue. Moody winked at him, his magical eye going haywire again.
Nothing like a nighttime stroll to give you ideas, Potter. See you in the morning.
He went back into his office, staring down at the Marauder's map again, and closed the door behind him. Harry walked back to Gryffindor Tower, lost in thought about Snape and Crouch and what it all meant. Why was Crouch pretending to be ill if he could manage to get to Hogwarts when he wanted to? Why did Snape think he was concealing, or what did Snape he think Snape was concealing in his office? And Moody thought that he, Harry, ought to be an Auror. Interesting idea. But somehow, Harry thought, as he got quietly into his four-poster 10 minutes later, the egg and the cloak now safely back into his trunk, he thought he'd like to check out how scarred the rest of them were before he chose it as a career. And that's the end of chapter 25. We read a whole chapter tonight. I hope you like that, my kitty. I love you so much, Boo. Such a sweet girl, kitty. I love you, Boo. Good night. Hey, kitty. Sleep well.